When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Monday, March 3rd, 2025. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about the actual winners of the 97th Annual Academy Awards. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film staff writer, Nina Starner.
Oh, hi.
Nina, before we get to the winners and how our predictions panned out, I wanted to talk to you about the ceremony itself. So you wrote an article called The 2025 Oscars Showed How to Do a Long Ceremony Right. So it seems like you appreciated the approach to the show this year. Tell me about that.
I did. I think that this year, you know, took a bold stance by proving that it actually loves movies. I feel like a lot of times the Oscars, like a host will get up there and be like, everything's too long and boring and I didn't watch any of them. And it just feels like, well, then, you know, what are we doing here? This is supposed to be a night honoring the best in the previous year of film. And not only did we have Conan O'Brien as our host, which I mentioned in this Slash Film piece, I believe, and I also mentioned in a piece for Looper.com, the day before the Oscars, Letterboxd did their four favorite films with Conan, and he picked like Duck Soup, Unforgiven, Citizen Kane, and any Pink Panther movie with Peter Sellers. Like, this guy loves movies. So I was encouraged before the ceremony even started by the fact that we had a host who genuinely likes watching movies, likes participating in, you know, discussions about them. And I did think his I Won't Waste Your Time song was extremely funny. But I liked the approach of, like, for the costume designers, having actors from the films talk about the designer's individual work. I just think that a lot of the ceremony was dedicated to really praising the artistry of film, especially below the line categories like costume and production design that really spoke to the artistry that goes into everything we see on screen beyond the performances and the direction. So I also think that the ceremony benefited from starting at 7 p.m. because it didn't feel quite as interminably long when it wasn't ending at midnight on the East Coast. You know, it wrapped up around 11 p.m., which kind of made for a neat and tidy ceremony, in my opinion. But yeah, I think while it was long, the Oscars are always long. And people need to get over that, frankly. It's always going to run long. Like, just live with that fact. But yeah, I think that it really honored 2024 in film, and I was really pleased to see that.
Yeah, me too. And it wasn't really, I mean, I think I was expecting it to be 3.5 hours. I think that's what the producers said beforehand. Yeah. And it went like, you know, 3:42 or something like that. So it wasn't really that much over time.
Listen, The Brutalist felt longer. So I don't really have any complaints at the end of the day.
Okay. All right. So I did want to run through sort of some highlights and lowlights. I thought that I'll start with the lowlights first. I'll get the negative stuff out of the way. I thought the James Bond tribute felt like it dragged a little bit. I was wondering
why. I don't know why it was there. I mean, we haven't had a new Bond movie for a couple of years. This was also coming on the heels of the news that Amazon just owns James Bond as an intellectual property now, which sucks for a variety of reasons. And so, like, yeah, I mean, I love Margaret Qualley, and I don't know how many people know this, but she's a trained ballet dancer. So it was lovely getting to watch her, you know, perform something a little different. But yeah, what was that doing there? I don't know.
Yeah, so Barbara Broccoli and Michael G. Wilson, who were the family that controlled the Bond franchise just until whatever, a couple weeks ago, last week or whatever it was, they won some sort of award from the governor's ball at the Oscars. And so the Bond tribute was timed to that. It actually had nothing to do with the Amazon of it all.
Right. I figured it couldn't because it had to have been planned much further in advance.
Yes. But yeah, definitely.
Just the timing was awkward, I think, based on that news.
Yeah. And I just thought it I mean, I like James Bond movies as much as the next person. I actually loved the montage, like the video component of it. But once it got into like the performances and stuff, it just kind of felt like, okay, this is dragging a little bit.
I saw a post that someone had where they were like, I love that the ode to James Bond focuses on everyone's favorite part, the theme songs. Like, the montage was the best part. And then we just had to listen to a bunch of theme songs for a while for
So let's see what else. The El Mall song winners singing during their speech was just very obnoxious. And then speaking of obnoxious speeches, Adrian Brody's Best Actor speech I thought was like I mean, it was, I think, unquestionably one of the longest ever. I think it was over 5.5 minutes. And you know, just talking about things that drag, like, that was just kind of a bummer because most of the rest of the night was pretty smooth, I thought. And like, the dude had an entire award season to shape a speech that communicated the points that he was trying to make, but it just didn't really seem like that happened. And instead, the whole thing just kind of got away from him. So,
yeah, I understood the point that I think he was trying to make in terms of speaking to, you know, fraught political times, but he didn't. He didn't stick the landing by any metric of that phrase. Yeah. Like, it just, by the time he got to the point, I was so lost in his meandering. And, you know, we'll get to kind of who should have won and all that. But I couldn't help but think the whole time that he was talking that Timothée Chalamet would have delivered a better, tighter, and more entertaining speech.
Yeah, it definitely would have been more entertaining. I still think, I mean, it's a great performance in that movie, and mm-hmm. I still think he disappeared in that film in a way that that nobody else did that I saw in a performance last year, but like, woof, that speech was not great. So
yeah,
the
no.
other big lowlight that I wanted to, what's the opposite of shout out? I don't know. Mention, I guess, but it's just a term I'll go with because I don't want to frame it in any sort of positive way. Hulu just completely dropping the ball in a huge way. We have an article up on Slash Film about that,
yeah.
But like, BJ Colangelo, frequent guest on this podcast, was trying to watch the show so she could work. And she was one of the thousands and thousands of people where mm-hmm. Hulu basically just shat the bed and just decided to stop working. And then by the time the broadcast hit the 3.5 hour mark, Hulu
just decided,
yeah, all right, that's enough. Like, we've hit our time limit here, and we're just not going to factor in, oh, there could be a few more minutes of this broadcast.
The ultimate playoff music, truly. It's absurd. I was watching on YouTube TV, thankfully, so I did get to see the end of the telecast. But yeah, I mean, I did wake up this morning and also saw this a bit last night. I mean, so many social media posts of people just taking pictures of their TV with the message of Hulu just saying, thanks for watching this live broadcast when it wasn't over. I mean, and to have that interrupt Sean Baker's speech about how we need to release movies in theaters and back away from streaming models. Oh boy, just so much to unpack there.
Yeah, so I'm guessing Hulu is probably not going to be the streaming home of the Oscars.
Let's hope
in
not.
Future years, but we'll see what happens there. Okay, so let's shift over to highlights. I loved the opening tribute to LA, that montage.
Yeah, I did too. It was beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, great stuff. The Wicked performances were killer. I know you and I are both big fans of that movie. So, I mean, I suspect you liked those as well, those song performances.
You get those two on stage together. I mean, they're both such phenomenal live performers. If I'm in a bad mood, I'll just go watch Cynthia Erivo's Tony performance from The Color Purple from 2016 just to, like, feel better. And, yeah, I mean, those two, Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo, are two once-in-a-lifetime singers, and to have them both working and in the same project is really something special. I also, and this came a little later in the show, but as an ode to Los Angeles, to follow up on what you were saying, I love that the LA Fire Department has been a guest at so many award shows this season, and I love to see them as part of the festivities and honored in the way that they should be. I just think that's really lovely. And it's also fun to get to see, like, a couple of them have a little bit of a stage presence, a little charisma. It's heartening to see the entertainment industry really, really platform people who, you know, saved lives, saved homes, and put their own lives on the line. I just think that's really special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think Conan handled that transition from, like, the sort of goofier, sillier stuff into the serious stuff pretty well. And I thought he was great overall. I'd love to see him host again.
Conan is, he's a legend. I'm a huge Conan fan. And I think he was the perfect person to host this. I would love to see him come back. I'd love to see, instead of the Kimmel over and over again, let's just have Conan do this every year. I have no issue with that. I also loved that he snuck a Kendrick Lamar joke in there about Drake. I mean, man, that guy cannot stop catching strays, and I'm obsessed with it. But yeah, his monologue was great. He made himself just the right amount of scarce, I think, as host, but kept popping up in ways that were just, like, funny and entertaining. And I just think he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. Speaking of popping up, Ben Stiller presenting production design was
loved
so funny.
That.
I love that.
A lot of jokes today about how he was presenting from the severed floor. That was perfect. I have a lot of affection for that guy as well. And yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. Kieran Culkin's speech was really endearing, starting the night off on a great note, I thought.
I love him. He's such a wife guy. It's the best thing about him. And I mean, we all knew he was going to win. So I was kind of gearing up for a great speech. And he's just, he's so charismatic. And I love that he gave a shout out to his favorite eldest boy, Jeremy Strong, who also delivered a phenomenal performance this year. And yeah, great speech.
Yeah. Any other highlights for you that you wanted to shout out, just like of the broadcast in general?
I'm sure some will come to mind as we keep talking, but, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed watching the ceremony quite a bit. I thought it was really fun. I do want to shout out, I mean, we'll get to the winners, but I thought the speech for No Other Land was really, really great. I'm really glad that, the winners, were able to take a moment to speak about the content of their extremely important film and really shine a spotlight on that. I also, that's a movie that needs to be platformed and discussed. And I'm hoping that maybe distributors will start, noticing that film and maybe get it on streaming so that it can be more widely accessible. But I did think that was a highlight of the night, getting to see them win that speech.
Yeah, I was thrilled that they won that one. Real quick, I just wanted to give a shout out to the producers of the broadcast, because it was like a smooth broadcast. There were no big tech hiccups or anything. And I've never worked in a high stakes environment like that, but I have worked in production before. And that's one of those sort of undersung things that there are so many things that can go wrong in a live environment.
Absolutely.
So when everything goes right, it's just they must be feeling great. And
I do have two
great.
Quick more highlights. I loved that they had Harry and Sally come out and announce Best Picture. I'm a huge When Harry Met Sally fan. I love Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal. But I also really liked that little Adam Sandler bit. It made me laugh. What'd you think of it?
it kind of felt like Conan reaching out to an old friend and being like, hey, help me out here. I need something. And they've done funnier things together, but it was fine. I used the word endearing before, so that's bouncing around in my head again, but it was kind of endearing when Sandler could not pronounce Nosferatu.
He struggled with that one. I think it's been discussed lately, especially after SNL 50, that Sandler appears to have gotten more sentimental and nostalgic as he ages. And I find that very endearing. And I also love the through line of him yelling Chalamet in Timothy's face after Nikki Glaser, making that joke at the Globes. And now we've come full circle. It was goofy and had nothing to do with anything, but I was like, this is fun. Again, these guys have been friends for years. Let them play around in the Dolby Theater. Who cares? It's great.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to take a break in just a second. By my count, Nina, we both went 15 of 20 of the predictions that we made. We did not vote on the short categories, but I wanted to talk about those because I did manage to catch up with a few more of the shorts since we last talked. So Anuja, Incident, and I Am Ready, Warden. And I thought Anuja was okay. You can watch that on Netflix. But man, Incident and I Am Ready, Warden were both very, very good. And both were tough to watch. Fair warning. The fact that the only girl in the orchestra won in that category is just, frankly, a joke, because Incident is made up entirely of police body cam footage and security camera footage.
Right.
And it's about a cop murdering somebody in Chicago. And man, it's just very well put together. That's on YouTube. You can watch that right now. And then I'm Ready, Warden is one of the best shorts that I've ever seen. It's about a guy on death row who killed a guy years earlier. And it's about how he has changed and grown in prison in that time. And it also interviews the son of the victim, who justifiably is full of hatred toward this man that killed his father. And it touches on themes and ideas that we often see in genre movies, cycles of violence, whether or not vengeance can fill a hole in your life after a big loss like that, whether it's possible to be forgiven after committing a horrible atrocity. And it shows what those things look like in real life. And it's just a really amazing piece of filmmaking. And that is on Paramount Plus, if people want to watch that. It's called I Am Ready, Warden. And I was really
be very interested in watching that, especially because, I mean, incarceration was a topic at this year's Oscars. I mean, Sing Sing picked up a number of nominations, and aside from Coleman Domingo, features prominently formerly incarcerated people as the cast. Mm-hmm. And so, it's interesting that we're taking a closer look at that this year. So I definitely want to watch both of these now. I mean, want feels like a strange word based on the subject matter, but I think they're important to watch.
Yes. Okay, let's take a break and then we'll come back and get into the actual winners.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most. Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
All right, so Anora had a huge night. And Sean Baker had a history-making night. He won four Oscars, the first person since Walt Disney to win four in the same night. We have an article about this up on Slash Film. Disney won four Oscars for four different movies in 1953, but no one had ever won four for the same movie in the same night until Sean Baker came along. What did you make of Anora's – is it a sweep? I mean, I guess it was like nominated for – was it nominated for a couple things that it didn't win? Or did it actually technically sweep? I think a sweep is when you win literally every single thing that you're nominated
for. Yeah, so then I guess in that sense it didn't sweep in that like Yoram Borisov didn't win.
Right.
But, you know, I also want to shout out that I saw a post from Kyle Buchanan of the New York Times this morning that said he beat Sean Baker to his own after party because he went home to walk his dog after winning four Oscars, which is just like, again, endearing might be the word of the morning today. I find that really, really like... down to earth, man of the people. I would have done the same thing. But I mean, Anora had a huge, huge night, which is wild for a low budget film about a sex worker, you know, and Sean Baker is a guy who, talk about loving movies. I mean, he, again, mentioned this earlier, spoke to the importance of putting movies in theaters. He edited this film himself with a really funny joke when he won for editing about how he saved the movie in post and the director should never work again. I thought that was amusing. I mean, Anora is a phenomenal movie. I think when we get to talking about actress, I'm happy and sad about the actress result. But I mean, I think it's undeniable. We knew going into this that this was going to be Anora's year. And I'm not that surprised that it performed so well, but it's still pretty great to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was very happy at the end of the night. I wanted to mention a couple things that got shut out. Nosferatu got shut out, and A Complete Unknown, I think, also got skunked. I think it went 0-for-8. And I know... let's just go ahead and talk about best actor right now. So we mentioned Adrian Brody won for The Brutalist. I know you strongly felt that Timmy Chalamet should have won best actor. So how were you feeling when that was happening?
I mean, once the speech happened, I was like, I feel justified in my very firmly held for no reason opinion. I mean, this was a really crazy stacked category. I'm looking at it right now. Like Timothy Chalamet, Coleman Domingo, Ralph Fiennes, Sebastian Stan, all gave really great performances. I mean, the only possible spoiler to my mind would have been the man formerly known as Timmy Tim because he won the SAG. And, you know, as I get further removed from watching The Brutalist, I respect it. And I think the performances are very good. But it also, I think there's an element of self-seriousness that came through in Brody's speech that does admittedly just turn me off. So, you know, I would have really liked to see kind of a passing of a torch as well to a younger performer. But as we discussed in the previous podcast, you typically, as a male actor, you got to wait. You know, so cut to Timmy eating an animal liver in a couple years, I guess. But I was a little bummed by this result. I expected it, but it didn't make me feel great or happy, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, the one positive that I can think of, because I also agree that like the passing of the torch thing would have been really cool, especially with Mikey Madison, which we'll talk about next
exactly.
in just a second.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I think might be a positive is A Complete Unknown winning zero Oscars might make studios hesitate when they greenlight biopics moving forward, because like I think you were not a big fan of A Complete Unknown.
I was not really.
Either. I mean, I think it's like kind of interesting as a James Mangold movie to look at it through the lens of like work that and themes and messages and ideas that he's communicated in other movies and kind of like on a continuum within his body of work. But like as a movie, I just did not get the hype for this one. So I kind of like that it didn't win anything. I mean, as brutal as that sounds, just because I think maybe it would. You know, the idea that Anora, a small indie movie about, like you said, a sex worker and like dealing with these
budget like $6 million or something really, really low, like that's which is crazy. Yeah.
The idea that like the entire industry can come together and celebrate a movie like that across all these different categories and have like this unwavering support, I think, and while that's happening, a movie like A Complete Unknown just gets nothing, I hope will be maybe a good sign for what's to come. So I don't know. That may be naive.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And I mean, realistically, I think that the performances were the only thing that made A Complete Unknown even watchable, in my opinion. If different performers had been in it, I think I probably would have just stopped watching it. So like, I think that Timothy and Monica Barbaro were both phenomenally good. I would love to see Hollywood move away from, you know, the story of this singer at a certain point in their career, like a story that we already know. And I also, it's, even though I think Timothy should have won, I am tired of actors winning for like impressions of people who exist. I just think it's more interesting to create a character from whole cloth. And like that will forever be my argument about, like, to go back a couple of years, Gary Oldman versus Daniel Kaluuya. I think what Kaluuya didn't get out is so much more interesting than whatever the hell Oldman was doing in Darkest Hour. But so generally that is the hill that I die upon, which is making me confused about my own opinion this year. But yeah, I totally agree with you that I'd love to see music biopics kind of maybe get played off, get Hulu to shut those off too.
Yeah. Okay. So Mikey Madison, I mean, you and I both picked Demi Moore. I think she was clearly the front runner. I think there was like a very strong narrative that she had, and then the ingenue ended up winning. So what did you think about that?
I have to guess, and there's really no way of knowing this unless I like blackmail the, you know, accountants at the Academy, which I'm not going to do for legal reasons. I have to guess that that was a really close vote count based on all the precursors that we've seen. I think that was probably the tightest race of the night, if I had to guess. It's really tough. I am happy and sad at the same time. I would have loved to see Demi win an Oscar after years of, you know, doing stuff like Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle, like surging ahead to win for a body horror movie. I think that would have been so cool. But I can't deny that Mikey Madison is so good in Anora. That movie rests on her shoulders. And without her, it would not succeed. And she is just, she is a hurricane in that movie in every sense of the word. And you know, we talked about that divisive final scene. She plays it perfectly. So I think she was shocked. I think everybody was shocked. I don't know if you looked closely at her face when Emma Stone read her name, but she did not appear to expect that. and so, you know, it's nice to see, again, the passing of the torch. I will always be a little, like, bummed that we didn't get to see Demi win an Oscar.
Well said. Okay, so I'm just going to fly through a bunch of categories here. We're not going to go through every single one. A lot of them, you and I picked the same thing to win and it ended up winning. So there's not really any use in talking about those.
I want you to admit I was right about Dune 2 winning a bunch of below the line.
Yes, I was going to get to that, but actually we'll go for that right now. So best visual effects and best sound, you picked Dune for both of those. And like my heart was with Dune because I loved that movie and I just didn't have faith in the Academy to be able to do it. I got spooked by the other day. I got spooked by people, you know, random people not watching the movie, not finishing it or whatever. And I was like, oh man, I don't know. They're not going to love this movie.
I have to wonder if people who didn't even watch it just picked it because it was the big blockbuster and they thought it probably had the best sound.
Yeah, very well could be.
Yeah.
But well done sticking to your guns on that one.
I was fist pumping so hard when those happened. I was so thrilled to see, you know, two really, really, really well-deserved awards for visual effects and sound. That was awesome.
Yeah. I'm Still Here. You picked winning Best International Feature in that one. I was very happy to see that.
Thank God we didn't have to watch another Emilia Perez speech. Lord.
I was like so scared about that one. I thought they were going to stick with Emilia. And then, I think I picked El Mal, which was just like the chalk pick. It wasn't like a bold prediction on my part. And you picked Elton John, Never Too Late. I think Elton John did get some FaceTime in like one reaction shot or something.
He was
out there
to a deeply unpleasant song. I'm just at this point, I'm just shouting out random Twitter users, but I'm still calling it that. But, you know, someone was like, it feels like elder abuse to make Mick Jagger give an Oscar to El Mal. It sucks that it won. And I guess we'll get to supporting actors as well. But I do think, like, I'm happy to never talk about Emilia Perez again, but it stinks that that movie, like, will forever be an Oscar winning film. Because I just don't think it's worthy. But then again, Suicide Squad has an Oscar. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I think the only thing we really need to say about that is Zoe Saldana won for Emilia Perez, and we have an article up on the site that says she's a wonderful actor, but she won an Oscar for the wrong performance.
I couldn't agree more, and I think it really sucks that she'll forever be an Oscar winner for this film. Like, I wish that her name didn't have to be tied to it in perpetuity. I thought her speech was great, and I was, like, I was touched by how emotional she was, but it just... I wish she could remove herself from the stink of this film in every sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Best cinematography, I picked The Brutalist. That ended up winning. You picked Dune Part 2. I would have been thrilled if Dune won.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think Dune probably, like, maybe should have won, but, like, that was just not going to happen. And then you picked Brutalist for Best Original Score. I picked Conclave for some reason. I don't know why I didn't stick with my guns on that one. That was just, like, maybe the weirdest. I think I was, like, in my own head trying to, you know, as long as the award season stretches out, I just sort of, like, second guess myself and make weird
things. I totally get it.
And,
yeah.
One of them.
And also the Brutalist score speech was great. Again, still disappointed that Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross didn't pop out from backstage, but I can't win them all.
And then, yeah, Anora, like, winning Best Picture. I think there was a big Conclave narrative in the past couple weeks or something about, like, oh, what about this? And it just kind of seemed like, yeah, Game Theory and, you know, again, that season dragging
on. Once Anora started winning screenplay and editing and all of that, I was like, okay, it's a lock. You know, I feel like that was, it was almost an easy path to predict once, you know, Sean Baker was picking up editing and all of that. It felt like a foregone conclusion before it even won. And that's not a bad thing. I was happy to see it win. But yeah, once Baker started picking up a bunch of, especially the screenplay win, I was like, okay, I think we're aiming at Anora now.
Yeah. I want to highlight, like, a really unconventional Best Picture winner, Anora is. Like, just, you know, I remember watching, I've only seen the movie once, but I watched it, and as soon as it was over, I was like, this is the Best Picture front runner? Like, I liked the movie a lot, but, like, man, that would be a really bold Best Picture win, and congrats to the Academy, I guess, on, like, making an interesting choice, because it just feels like that type of movie never would have won, you know, even as recently as, like, 10 years ago or something. So,
I mean, I think if we look at kind of recent winners, like, Coda is not a bad movie, but it is an easy Oscar Best Picture choice in many senses. Like, it's a safe choice. So to go from something like Coda to Anora in a matter of years is really astonishing. I talk about Parasite, frankly, too much, but I do think this harkens back to, like, that win of, like, yes, they actually got it right. Like, the exciting, weird, just audacious movie made by someone at the top of their game who's been working for a very long time. Like, that actually won. That's an exciting thing. It should be celebrated.
Yeah. Yeah. And Sean Baker, I think my guess is a lot of people don't know what Anora is, and a lot of people have never heard Sean Baker's name before tonight. And so I think this is one of those, like, real coming out moments for Sean Baker where, like, I think he's going to become a household name overnight.
I would love for people to, you know, explore his filmography, go watch Tangerine, Florida Project, Red Rocket. Like, he's made a bunch of really good movies that are worth watching. So I agree with you. I hope that this puts Sean Baker on a lot of people's radars.
Yeah. Okay. Any closing thoughts before we wrap up? Anything we didn't get to that you wanted to mention?
Not that I can think of. I mean, again, I think this was a pretty good Oscars. I was watching the beginning of the telecast with some friends who live close by. And one of my friends said, you know, this is the best award show I've seen in a while, and, you know, completely unprompted. So I think Conan was great. I think that a lot of deserving winners were awarded. And yeah, I mean, these were a pleasure to watch, which I can't always say is true.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to Flo. We both picked
as,
like, the underdog pick, and that ended up beating The Wild Robot. So that
That's
was
awesome.
A nice surprise.
So, and loved the through line of Conan being like, Estonia, it's your turn. Let's go. Yeah. So hopefully we get a random, awesome Estonian movie at next year's Oscars. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Conan's the best. Okay. So thank you to Nina. Thank you to the Slash Film team who worked during the ceremony, including you, Nina. I know how stressful it can be to cover a live event, especially in a scenario where you have to, like, stop and write about something while the actual event is still continuing and you're trying to write and still be paying attention at the same time. And I know that's, like, a whirlwind type of situation. I think our team
did an
excellent
job. It's fun,
so.
But it's a whirlwind. Yeah. So I think everyone at Slash Film absolutely crushed it.
Yeah, I'm going to link to all of our Oscars coverage in the show notes for this episode. We have a full list of all the winners. If you somehow missed some of that and wanted to cross-check something, you can do that there. And then, yeah, we have a lot of like analysis and different like opinion pieces based on the different winners and stuff like that that I will link to in the show notes. So that is going to do it for today's episode of the show. A Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.